Hey, welcome to Perspectives. Today I'm joined by Jake Williams. Jake, welcome.
Thank you.
And this is a chance for us just to have conversations around current topics, timeless topics that we want to try to think biblically about. And so rather than approaching scripture like we do on a weekend, kind of to work through a text and think about what the implications are, this is kind of a place to do the opposite. Say, what are some of the current conversations, topics that are going on in the world? And then how should a Christian think about it from a biblical standpoint? And so today we're going to talk about climate change. And Jake has spent some time studying that. I freely admit more than I have. This has not been an issue that I've probably spent a ton of time on. So I'm going to be learning in some ways along with all of us here. And I'm going to attempt to play a little bit of devil's advocate and poke holes in whatever Jake says. So all that I say today may not reflect my views. It may reflect my views. I'm not even sure. So tell us a little bit how you got interested in this topic and then what you first learned as you started to really think about it.
Yeah, so I first started learning about it in a class in seminary called Trends in Global Christianity. Mm-hmm. And wrote my final paper on how the church can respond to climate change. And the goal of the paper wasn't so much to convince the audience that climate change is real from a scientific perspective. Mm-hmm. It was just more so, how do we respond to it? How do we care for the creation? Mm-hmm. Who does climate change affect most, mm-hmm. mostly? So learned some things and hopefully it can come to light in this.
Okay, so let me start right in there then. So there will be some Christians, especially it seems like this is a Christian right, political right thing sometimes. And those two aren't always synonymous, but where they are, it seems like there's a lot of people who would be what's called climate deniers. Mm-hmm. People would say, there's no climate change. That's a manufactured issue from the left. So even though that wasn't your goal, convince the skeptic that it's an actual issue that actually needs to be addressed and that this isn't just part of the agenda to try to make everyone drive electric cars.
Yeah, well, or God in Genesis, he repeatedly calls creation good. Mm-hmm. And he says we're to have dominion over creation. And dominion doesn't mean oppression. Dominion usually means stewardship. Mm-hmm. And so God calls us right from the beginning of Scripture to care for his creation. He made us, and he made his creation. And so we're to steward it well, we're to care for it well. Just as, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 talks about our bodies. It says, we are not our own. We're bought with a price. Mm-hmm. So honor God in your bodies. And so at the rehab, I would tell guys, like, hey, our bodies actually, they're not ours. Mm-hmm. And so we don't really have the right to pollute them with drugs. They're God's. God made us, and he has dominion over our bodies even. And so the same principle is true with creation. He created it, it's good, and he wants us to steward it.
So is your answer, then, that it doesn't matter if it's true or not because God called us to steward creation either way?
It's in so many words. I believe, we're to care for creation, and regardless of if it's true or not, that wasn't the goal of my paper. Mm-hmm. We're to care for creation well.
Okay. So again, I'm just imagining somebody saying, yeah, but if we're not impacting it and, fossil fuels help us do what we want to do, I like taking a flight to Miami in the winter and being able to sit in the sun. I like, having Red Solo cups that, I can use because I don't have to wash dishes after a party. Mm-hmm. So if it isn't really impacting it, I don't feel like I'm necessarily not caring for creation. Mm. So again, speak to just that mindset.
Okay, well, that mindset, in America, we have kind of a mindset of consumption. Mm-hmm. The United States makes up 4% of the global population, but we consume 33% of global consumables. Mm-hmm. And so just
global consumables meaning?
Meaning just all the energy, all the products that we use.
Okay.
And so we have far more than any other country in the world this mindset of I'm going to use it. If I can afford it, I'm going to buy it. If I want it, I'm going to take it. And we mm-hmm. live what's called kind of a phantom lifestyle, which means that much of what we consume and use is produced other places. Mm-hmm. So if strawberries are out of season, well, I'll just go to the store and buy strawberries because they're not being grown here. They're being grown somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And so what we don't think about sometimes is the global poor is really affected by our consumption mindset. Mm-hmm. And God's heart for the poor throughout Scripture is just abundantly clear. He cares. He identifies with the poor. He became poor in Jesus. And a lot of our lifestyle affects people that we don't often see or think about.
Okay, so again, just keep pushing back. So an economist or an economic mindset would say, well, but if growing strawberries somewhere else is a poor person's job at the time, they do it because it makes economic sense. And if I buy the strawberries or the red Solo cups from a person, they're actually benefiting because I'm consuming because it helps everybody get richer.
Yeah. And I would push back and say there is evidence to support climate change, mm-hmm. change being somewhat caused by human, mm-hmm. by what we do here. And mm-hmm. I would just encourage you to go do your own research, not mm-hmm. just believe whatever media you're consuming tells you. Mm-hmm. There's not a global conspiracy between scientists throughout the entire world to promote mm-hmm. this false idea mm-hmm. For no benefit of their own.
Okay. So what is, from the research you've done, what is the imminence of the threat? So left unaddressed, you know, do we have 100 years before the seas come? Do we have 1,000 years?
Yeah, I'm not going to put a number on that, but we can already see that the causes of climate change are affecting the global poor at, mm-hmm. at a much disproportionate rate. Mm-hmm. Land is more affordable near places where rivers flood. Mm-hmm. Land is more affordable near dumps, near mm-hmm. power plants. Even here in Pittsburgh, if you listen to the radio, yesterday it was code red in the Mon Valley. Mm-hmm. It's always code red in the Mon Valley. Well, in the Mon Valley, land's pretty cheap. You can live mm-hmm. there affordably. And the pollution that's being caused, code red air. Mm-hmm. It's right here. We don't have to look far to see the effects of this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So let's say somebody says, okay, I should be a steward of creation, whether I think it's true or not, maybe some truth to it. Don't know how imminent it is. Another question that I would think somebody would ask is, okay, so I've been to, Mexico or somewhere, and I see that the pollution is 10 times worse than it is in the United States mm-hmm. now. Whether or not that's true, you go to Mexico City and you might feel that way. So if the whole world isn't going to get on board with it, then will my little bit make a difference?
Yeah, I think that's a tactic some people use to remove themselves from the problem and just mm-hmm. say, well, if everyone's not on board with this, why would I be on board? And I would just say, just as you're a steward of your body, you can affect what you do with your mm-hmm. resources, with your money, with your time. And mm-hmm. so that doesn't remove the fact that we are all part of the human race and we mm-hmm. all contribute either positively or negatively.
Okay. And another thing I've heard people sometimes say is, some of the people who are most loud in wanting to regulate things fly all over the world on private jets and, stuff like this that mm-hmm. seems to be incongruous with the whole idea. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's a further down argument, but how do you respond to that?
I would just say that that we're stewards. Just as mm-hmm. we're to take care of our bodies, mm-hmm. God calls us to take care of his creation. And so am I participating in this consumer mindset where my identity is wrapped up in what I own, what I consume, or is my identity transcended that? Is my identity rooted in who God says I am in Scripture? Mm-hmm. And is my priority where God's priorities are, which is with creation? The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work mm-hmm. of his hands. Many other scriptures point to God caring about creation, creating creation, loving creation. Mm-hmm. And we can partake in that.
Okay. All right. So walk us through some of what then you've thought through, studied to say, here's some good responses to what...
I'd like to just cover a few objections that mm-hmm. people bring up. I've found that there's some common objections within Christian circles. Only 28% of evangelical Christians believe that climate change is human-caused, mm-hmm. and that's an extremely low percentage. And mm-hmm. so a lot of these arguments keep coming up, and mm-hmm. so I kind of respond to some of the objections. Mm-hmm. One of them is, many of the people doing environmental things are really worldly. They're non-believing people. Mm-hmm. So the argument is, well, why should I be care about this if the people who are telling me about it are just worldly, non-Christian people? Why would I care mm-hmm. if I'm a Christian? We see in Scripture God many times using non-Christians, non-believers, to accomplish his purposes. Mm-hmm. And so just because we may refuse to take part in creation care or stewardship, God's sovereign. He's going to accomplish his mm-hmm. will regardless. And that may lead you to say, well, if God's sovereign, he's going to do what he wants to do anyway, then why mm-hmm. should I care about it anyway?
Mm-hmm. Well, and probably sometimes that objection, I don't disagree that that's there, and I think I kind of hinted at that. Sometimes I think that objection isn't just that people aren't Christian who bring it. It's that they think there's a political agenda behind it
right.
that's going to shrink freedom, mm-hmm. that says, we want to control what you do, and this is a pretext to be mm-hmm. able to do that.
Right, right. And I think there could be some of that. You know, I think politicians okay. use oftentimes whatever they can to sway the public to their mm-hmm. their own will, or they use they just sway themselves to the public's will.
So some people would say, again, I think freedom is a higher, if I have to choose, like I'm not necessarily going to object that climate change is a problem and I should steward creation, but so is human freedom, and I don't want to give any more control to government over my personal life, and therefore I feel like that's a higher value.
Well, to that I would just say there are consequences to sin. Mm-hmm. You know, if I want to have the freedom to eat pizza and cake every day, mm-hmm. then I'm going to limit the freedom I have to play racquetball and lift weights because I'm going to mm-hmm. be so fat that I can't do anything. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes the freedom to do something really limits your freedom.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, go ahead. What other?
God tells us in Genesis to have dominion over creation. So we can do with it what we want is a common thing that I've seen. Mm. God gave us creation. He says have dominion of it, so we can do what we want. And like we said before, dominion doesn't advocate oppression. Mm-hmm. Dominion is more stewardship. People will say humans matter more than plants, animals, and the environment. So they're saying, you know, humans are the priority in God's eyes, so we should do what we want with the environment because we're the priority. Well, I would just say in the flood account in Genesis 6 through 9, who does God save and who mm-hmm. does he not save?
Mm-hmm.
He saves a lot of animals. He doesn't save a lot of people. God's creation is complex and interconnected, mm-hmm. and we may not oftentimes see the connection between a species going extinct and the ramifications that that may have.
Okay.
Another one is, I don't think that environmentalists and scientists claim that will happen will actually happen. So they just mm-hmm. don't believe the environmentalists mm-hmm. and the scientists. And the subtext in that statement is really, if I start to care for the environment, I'm going to capitulate my Christian beliefs. And I'm going to support people that are largely non-Christian. And we also have to remember that there's always a rigorous effort to promote doubt and uncertainty mm-hmm. when a sinful act is upholding a structure.
Mm-hmm.
So a great example of this is like in the 60s, 70s, and 80s with the tobacco industry.
Mm-hmm.
Their goal was not to say tobacco isn't causing cancer. Mm-hmm. It's to just plant a little seed of doubt. So that mm-hmm. smokers will think, well, maybe it causes cancer, but maybe it won't, and it probably won't cause cancer for me. Mm-hmm. There were billions of dollars spent on that, and mm-hmm. the same thing we see is happening here. They're mm-hmm. just planting little seeds of doubt in the media, other places, to just say, you know, maybe or maybe not, it might be just human-caused or not human-caused, but who really knows?
Mm-hmm.
And just that little seed of doubt will make millions of people say, well, I'm going to just assume that it's probably just mm-hmm. naturally caused and not really do anything mm-hmm. about it.
Okay.
So those are a few objections. I do have some scripture.
Okay, yeah, share the scripture, and then what can somebody do who says, okay, this maybe hasn't been my biggest concern, mm-hmm. you know, to start doing some things to say I want to be a steward of the environment.
Yeah, definitely. So we already covered the Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. These scriptures like these really uphold and show us that God's creation is from the Creator. Another example of this is Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. And so Romans right there is saying we can look at nature and we can know God. God is a reflection of his creation. Genesis 2:15, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So just like we care for our bodies, we are the Lord's, so too is creation. He created creation. Proverbs 31:8 and 9, speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute, speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. And so a lot of my studies was focused on how climate change affects the poor. And so if we're not taking this issue seriously, if we're not really caring to look into it, if we're just saying, well, God's got it covered and I don't really need to look into it. Well, it's not really us who's the most affected, especially here in Pittsburgh. It's the poor around the world who are being affected and displaced because of it. And more so, that'll continue to happen.
And just to draw the line between that, because I would assume some people would say, oh, well, yeah, but how? Like, what is the line between I have a gas stove in my house and somebody, you know, in some part of the world is being hurt by the fact that I have a gas stove. Further question on that is, and doesn't the power have to be generated somewhere for the electric stove? So is that necessarily better for the environment?
I would just say, you know, when you dump oil in a river, you may see it here, but downstream you may not see it. And so the downstream effects of our actions are real. And the
Again, help me draw the line. So because like as I sit here, I'm thinking, okay, I don't think I've actively polluted, actively participated, other than just being an American and consuming what I consume. Like I haven't intentionally ever harmed the environment. Other than maybe once where I threw something out and didn't pick it up. But I was young. But like that hasn't been my thing to and in fact I've tried to actively help the places where I live to bring dominion to it, whatever word you want to use. But so take something like the gas stove. In order for me to change a behavior or somebody like me, I need to know that it actually isn't just an ethereal downstream thing. Because it's like, well, how do I know that that's actually impacting somebody's quality of life somewhere else in the world? And again, I would need to be convinced that then the electric stove really is not still generating the same thing. Like I know, the electric car revolution, really good thing overall to not put emissions into the air. But one of the questions that we haven't addressed in that is what do we do with all the batteries when they're no longer alive? Like those being put into landfills is an environmental issue. And so for me, even like as I think about, okay, I could try to buy an electric car instead of a gas car and I would put less emission in, but what happens to that battery? Now, obviously there's a battery in another car, but there's more of them, and there's this, so I don't always, I'm not always convinced it's as clean a choice as I got rid of my gas stove and I'm helping the environment. And I would think that I'm somewhat common that way, where it's not necessarily malice. So help me draw the line, I guess, between my choice and global poverty.
I would just say that being intentional about consuming and being aware of our consumable mindset and doing some research and not just relying on the thing in the back of your mind that says, well, there's a battery and it'll probably have to go somewhere, so it really doesn't matter what car I choose to buy. Like, actually look into it. Read a study. Read something.
I actually have on that, and I'm sure you have too. And that is one of my concerns about the electrical revolution, is that I think the from what I've read, the way that those decompose when they're no longer in use is an issue we have not figured out. And the mercury and some of the things in it that will decompose into the groundwater can be a future issue. Now, again,
right.
I don't think we actually know entirely because that's just a projection of a scientist, mm-hmm. A few of them, because they're saying until a battery actually sits there for 100 years, it's hard to know what mm-hmm. happens, but that is.
Right.
You know, so sometimes I think it's not always as clean.
It's not.
As we want it to be. I completely agree. Research and awareness is huge. I mean, I think, you know, without a doubt, you know, plastic stuff. I mean, I mentioned the Solo cup earlier. I mean, what is it, 20 years to decompose?
I think longer,
Something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you better think twice before you use a Solo
right.
cup.
And so I would just mm-hmm. say what you're doing is probably what I'd suggest, mm-hmm. which is being intentional, being thoughtful, looking into it, mm-hmm. you know, instead of using a Solo cup at the gym every day, mm-hmm. maybe bring a water bottle. Mm-hmm. But I'll admit that individuals are limited. After being intentional, after, you know, mm-hmm. examining your consuming mindset, mm-hmm. A lot of change has to come from the government, has to come from policy, has to come from corporations, mm-hmm. and individuals don't have a lot of sway there other than speaking up, voting, writing mm-hmm. government officials, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right. What other suggestions do you have?
Well, this isn't an issue that hasn't been thought of through church mm-hmm. history. A lot of theologians and authors that we know of have written about this even mm-hmm. before climate change became a big issue. So God himself has made it known within scripture all over the place, but also just some people that you might be familiar with. Just like to read some quotes. Billy Graham, the famous evangelist who has reached more people for Christ than anyone besides the Apostle Paul, says, "To drive to extinction something he has created is wrong. He has a purpose for everything. We Christians have a responsibility to take the lead in caring for the earth." Billy Graham. Francis Schaeffer said, "If I'm going to be in a right relationship with God, I should treat the things he has made in the same way he treats them." Thomas Aquinas, old guy, said, "Any error about creation also leads to an error about God." John Calvin, "Let everyone regard himself as a steward of God in all things which he supposes. Then he will neither conduct himself dissolutely nor corrupt by abuse those things which God requires to be preserved." Two more. John Stott, he says, "God intends our care of the creation to reflect our love for the Creator." And then finally, Douglas Moo, who has written a great book about this, by the way, if you're interested. He says, "It's not only in our faithful and responsible work to care for creation, but above all, perhaps, in our love and joy and hope that we will be beacons of the new creation in Christ, overcoming the darkness of despair by our trust in God, who will never abandon us in our groaning creation."
So I've been in his house.
Really?
Yeah, I had him as a seminary prof. He had a gas stove. I'm just saying. At least he did at the time.
Nice.
Yeah, sorry.
That's all right.
Just thought I'd throw that out.
Yeah, his book is called Creation Care, A Biblical Theology of the Natural World. So Douglas Moo.
Also wrote a phenomenal commentary on Romans. Moo is a great voice. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, any other questions or?
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's, what would you say to somebody, and I think I heard you already, your basic answer is probably stewardship. What would you say to somebody who says, okay, yeah, but it feels hopeless, feels like, you know, me not using a Solo cup isn't going to change the course of this? And your answer would just be, doesn't matter. Stewardship, like that's an excuse to not do your part rather than an argument. Would that be right?
I would say so, but I would also say inaction is really doing mm-hmm. The negative side of what's right, mm-hmm. I would say. Mm-hmm. So inaction is to not do anything is to do the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And so I would just say, take it seriously, you know, mm-hmm. read about it. What I don't want is this to be a divisive issue where you look at this and say, well, Jake's a fool now because he's on the liberal side of creation mm-hmm. care. That's not the point. It's not mm-hmm. it's not about dividing us as Christians on who's right and who's wrong about this issue and then them being the enemy. Mm-hmm. It's about honoring scripture, honoring God, and, you know.
Well, and from a faith standpoint, I think it's actually, there are some opportunities that the church has presented from time to time where the culture is trending toward a biblical view. And unfortunately, sometimes the church shies away from those moments because they can actually be very helpful in helping people say, oh, I may not agree with the church on this, this, and this, but wow, they are out front or part of this. And I think sometimes it's a mistake to be like, oh, we want to stay back from an issue because it feels like it's polarizing, rather than saying, no, we can be polarizing on this, but also on something else.
Right.
So, well, thank you. Thanks for your research on it. Anything else you want to say about it that you haven't said yet?
I don't think
Any last 10% that it's like would be helpful?
Oh, a person asked me what we're doing the perspective on. I said climate change, and the person said, well, God's got that covered. I don't worry about that. And while the sentiment behind that statement is true, mm-hmm. that we trust God and that he's mm-hmm. got it covered, and he does, that doesn't negate the fact that our sin has real consequences. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so there's nuance in this subject that I think deserves mm-hmm. being looked into.
Yeah. Okay. Super. So thanks for spending part of your day with us here in Perspectives. There's always great content at Orchard Hill Church Plus. Which has all of the perspectives, all of the great books, the 5 Good Minutes, a lot of the class content, some of the seasonal studies. So great opportunity just to take some steps beyond the weekend, as well as all of the seasonal studies, small groups, ministries, interest groups that are happening here at Orchard Hill. Have a great day.